At least it's over. It's the nicest thing I can say about it at this point. Oh, yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck. Welcome in. It is Press Box's Project Game Day. It is the post-game show. Glenn Clark joined this week by a buddy of mine, a man who maybe you thought could only do baseball. But that's not the case. He's going to hang out and talk some football with us. He is my buddy Eric Arditi. You know him as Barstool RDT from BarstoolSports.com. Eric, it's good to see you. I wish this was more pleasant.
Yeah, well, now at least we have the Jets and the Jaguars game.
That's how bad it is, right? That, like, if I didn't have to do this, I would legitimately have been excited for the fact that it could be flipped over to the Jets-Jaguars
game. We have a possible overtime winning drive going on right now by Blake Bortles.
It's a thriller.
Finally, good football today.
Oh, God. Oh, it's such a mess. Project Game Day is brought to you by ParXL. Appreciate them making this happen. I would love to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts in the comments in the video. You can also hit me up at Glenn Clark Radio. You can hit Eric up at Barstool RET.
Correct.
The Ravens suck. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, it was bad.
They're not good. I got a lot of my – so this is the difference. I got a lot of my vitriol out at halftime, Eric. Like, I, like, lost my mind at halftime because it was 19 to nothing. And so I just – a lot of the things that I had, like, a lot of my piss and vinegar,
let it go.
I let loose at the half. And so, in a way, I'm kind of almost over it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
in a way,
yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, they just suck. Like, they just suck. That's all it is. They're just not any good. And I'm kind of literally just sitting here like, so what? So they're not any good. I kind of knew they weren't going to be all that good. But I know that that's not the end-all be-all. I understand that there are legitimate problems and people are legitimately pissed off about it. I just don't know where to start. Like, sure, did the offense suck? Yeah, the offense sucks. But, like, the offense was built. They were built to suck.
Yeah, like, you knew that going into, I think, the season. People knew that the offense was going to be very
good. They didn't do anything.
It's like the Orioles with pitching. Like, yeah, right. You knew that it wasn't good.
How can you be mad about the pitching?
And then you went out and got Jeremy Maclin, who he's not going
to
fix all the
problems. Yeah, no offense to Jeremy Maclin.
He's
fine, right? He's a veteran.
Like, it's like going out and getting and adding, you know, like Wade Miley. Like,
right.
He's not going to fix all your offensive problems.
Correct.
And, I mean, everything I heard going into the season was the defense. This defense is going to lead them.
Right.
Everyone talked about preseason, how good the defense looked. And it's like, well, the last two games.
It's preseason football.
Exactly.
Who cares? It's preseason football.
Would they give up 44 to the Jaguars last week and then
26 to the Steelers
today?
This week.
So,
and they were just gashed on the ground. They were absolutely gashed on the ground today by the Steelers.
Le'Veon hasn't had a game like that, I feel like, against the Ravens. Because I feel like you always hear those, the Ravens haven't had a runner, you know, go over 100 yards in 28 games. It's always something like that.
Right.
It's like he had a field day with them today.
Correct. He murdered. We'll pull up some of the numbers and we'll look over it here in a second. But somebody's going to point out this is a lot to do with what's missing, right? Like, that this wouldn't happen if Marshall Yanda and Alex Lewis and maybe Danny Woodhead, I know a favorite of Barstool Sports, and on the defensive side, Brandon Williams, who's been out, and obviously the last 2 weeks have really hurt with Brandon Williams being out. All well and good, and I'm not arguing that. When Marshall Yanda went down, like when we were doing the show 2 weeks ago and the Ravens were sitting at 2-0, there was an immediate feeling of,
oh no,
they didn't have much to begin with on that side of the ball. He was by far their best player on that side of the ball.
Easily.
This really could be as crushing as you think it is. This could be as disastrous. The line was a mess to begin with. They lose their best player. We shouldn't be all that surprised by what's occurred since then, but yet there's some mix of disappointment, of frustration, of I don't know what it is. I don't know that everyone has accepted the fate the way that, like, I just think that this is the answer. That we've gotten to the quarter pole and we've gotten the truth about the Ravens. They're not very good.
Yeah, that they're maybe like, what, 7-9, 8? That's, I mean,
I think right now some things have to go right in order for them to get to that point. Like, that's my gut at the moment. Now, they're going to get Brandon Williams back.
Yeah.
Like, we think they're going to get Brandon Williams back. The rest of them, they're not getting back. I mean, you could get Danny Woodhead back at the end of the season,
eventually.
But you're away from that, a ways away from that.
Yeah, again, he's not going to, you know, put the offense on its shoulder.
Correct. This is where you're at. This is who you are. And it's very difficult to just accept that because then you want there to be bigger answers, right? Like, well, if this is who you are, then whose head has to roll?
Yeah.
I said at halftime, yo, if they wanted to walk in today and fire Marty Morningwig, by all means, go fire Marty Morningwig. But I don't think anybody else is making it better next week.
No, they're not going to. No one is going to walk in those doors. And Gary Kubiak's not walking through those doors.
With this personnel.
You know, a switch isn't just going to flip and everything's going to be great.
Right.
I mean, like I said, people thought going into this year that, oh, of course, they could compete for the AFC North division. And they probably still can. maybe, you know, barring an injury to Big Ben or Brown or someone like that. But I don't think it's in the cards for them right now. And I mean, like you and I said when you saw Ronnie Stanley getting, you know, walked off, he eventually came back, and I think I looked at you and I said, "Who else do they literally have?
Only competent NFL offensive lineman they have." You can make an argument for Austin Howard having been a competent NFL offensive lineman, but he has not looked that way since he arrived.
Didn't he have shoulder surgery like 3 weeks before he signed?
Nobody wanted him.
Yeah, there was reason he was still out there.
He was sitting there to be had, and the Ravens said, "Oh God, we don't have anybody. We might as well go get Austin Howard."
Yeah,
because we don't have any other options. They have nothing in the way of a competent offensive lineman outside of Ronnie Stanley. Now, I maybe Ryan Jensen will become a decent center, and in comparison to some of the other guys they've trotted out there, he's been okay.
Yeah.
But that's, like, he was responsible for a sack today. He's not good either. They don't have anyone else besides Ronnie Stanley that would start on any other offensive line in the National Football League. That's how much of a disaster it is.
Yeah.
It did not take long to get this from Man Johnson. Rodgers has a garbage offensive line, but he sucks it up and leads his team to victory. Flacco can barely read a defense. He always plays scared. The defense is overrated. Kaepernick should be the starting quarterback, but the clown who owns the team didn't bring him in. Eric, you and I haven't talked about this. I would have had no problem, by the way, with the Ravens signing Colin Kaepernick. In fact, the fact that they went down the road as far as they did and then didn't sign him, I thought was insane. But if you think that Colin Kaepernick is solving the Ravens' problems, you're out of your mind. That's not their problem. Now, is your argument that Colin Kaepernick would have more of an ability to get outside of the pocket?
Then yes.
Sure, 100%. He might have more of an ability to get outside of the pocket. The thought that that's the only problem the Ravens have, no, it's not.
Yeah, they need a quarterback who can move.
Like, right. That, it might
that's
be
their bigger thing.
It might be the biggest problem they have is that the offensive line is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay offensive line, by the way, how did it look when they had no tackles and Aaron Rodgers had to play in Atlanta a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it didn't,
how did that look?
Didn't go well for them.
How did it look in the first half last week against Cincinnati?
Yeah, but like he was saying, Aaron Rodgers, you know, his line is trash. Aaron Rodgers can move. He's one of the most athletic quarterbacks. He's like a Kaepernick where he can move. He can use his legs as weapons. And Joe is like Tom Brady in that sense where he's a statue. He's going to stand there. And since the injuries, it's been so much worse.
He used to be more willing to try to get outside and do some things. The injuries have really hurt that for him.
And we've seen him try and slide before.
Right.
Hasn't gone well.
Oh, God,
how many knee braces did he break?
Two or three? No question. Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, but Rodgers can move. Flacco, that's just not his game, and it's not going to be. His knees aren't getting better, and his legs aren't getting better.
There's no doubt. And he's not interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not interested in it.
No, he's not Big Ben.
The way the Ravens built this team, they can't – like, they don't have – the answers aren't there. Now, all of this being said – could it be, if they had tailored the offense a certain way, like could they have figured some things out to make this work? Absolutely. And
Probably.
This is my problem with this is like we can try to criticize Joe Flacco all we want. I don't think anyone outside of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady is succeeding with what they're working with.
Mm-mm.
And by the way, I don't know how much those guys are succeeding with this, but I'm willing to give you they're definitely better.
Yeah,
like, nobody's arguing about that. They're obviously better, and they can do things that other quarterbacks can't do. But outside of that group, I'm not even mad at this offense. I'm not. This is what I thought they were going to be.
Exactly. Those are the guys you had in the locker room. Those are the guys who you had in preseason. You knew that that's who you were going to have lining up week one. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. Like you said, except for Danny Woodhead being out, this is the offense you thought you were going to have.
Yeah, well, two offensive linemen, obviously.
Yonda
and Lewis, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. This is what you thought you were going to be. You built this. It was flimsy to begin with. It was super flimsy.
Yeah, and even with even if Yonda was in there, like he patches up one hole in the offensive line, you still have a bunch of other holes out
Correct.
There. And you know he's not going to make Mike Wallace catch that pass down the left sideline.
Inexcusable.
Today that just hit him right in the hand.
And both the two big drops today were Wallace and then Perryman, right? Mm-hmm. Both those balls could have been better thrown by Joe Flacco.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm not sitting here saying they were perfect
Blaming
throws
on them. Yeah, yeah.
But when the ball gets to your hands, you have to catch the football. This is the NFL.
I've always heard if the ball hits you in the hands, you should catch it.
You have to.
Yeah,
in the NFL,
especially
you
this
have
level.
To
yep.
catch the football if it hits you in the hands.
I agree.
And again, this is not me absolving Joe Flacco of responsibility for those two.
Mm-hmm.
The Wallace one, that's a difficult throw.
Yeah.
That's egregious that Mike Wallace didn't catch that ball. The Perryman thing, I don't really know what happened. Flacco clearly saw that he was open, wanted to get the ball out quickly before anybody might get over there,
mm-hmm.
did not nearly need to throw it the way that he did. He didn't have to put nearly the amount
it.
Of – he rushed the throw. Perryman appeared to stop, and then do this sort of weird twisting move that was again, he's
made
wide
it,
open.
He made it harder than it needed
right,
to be.
Right, it was completely unnecessary, and he's just not good to begin with.
I was going to say, that's been the book on Perriman.
Right. Speaking of which, Larry Resnick chimes in and says, I hate writing to you every week, Glenn. Another team loss, including the coaching. Ravens' frailties have now reached a breaking point. Perriman is horrible. The defense is not stout enough. Joe was awful. Not as bad as last week, but almost as bad because we were at home. Two picks at horrible times again. Clock management again was terrible. The lines are bad, but it is what it is. It is the hand that was dealt. Find a way to at least be somewhat competent. Collins the only bright spot, but fumbles are fumbles, and he can't do that.
Mm-hmm. He's the only guy that when he gets the ball in his hands, he shows, you know, like a sense
something,
of
right.
He's energized. And
but
like,
he's
you can
lost
see,
two fumbles in 3 weeks.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can run as hard as you want, but then if you fumble...
You can't be on the field.
You can't fumble from the bench. So
this is like
be.
The blocking thing with Kenneth Dixon from a year ago. Everybody kept talking about Kenneth Dixon and how exciting he was. Dude, he couldn't block.
Can't block, yeah. So it's
and
like
if you can't block, you can't be on the field.
Exactly.
Like, you just can't. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't be on an NFL football field if you can't block. And if you can't hold on to the ball, you can't be on an NFL football field. And I look, are there things I like about Alex Collins? Yeah,
absolutely.
There's things I like about Alex Collins. But you're going to fumble the ball and lose it twice in 3 weeks. Bro, I can't have you out there.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially with a guy like Harbaugh, like you're not
right.
going to play.
Yeah,
like, you're
yeah,
not going to be out there.
He's been like
and especially
that.
Especially once Dixon comes back, then it's, you know, and then eventually Woodhead. So you're going to have, you
well,
know,
yeah, correct.
It's going to be a crowded backfield.
Paul from Orlando, when this one's for you. When do pitchers and catchers report again?
I don't even want to know that question right now. Right. I mean, it's not even like I'm really looking forward to next season.
I know. It's, God, it's so depressing. You got a huge fan in Emma Schmidt, by the way. She's
oh,
a big
yeah.
RDT guy.
Yeah, she's an old friend.
Okay. Well, what's up, Emma? I'm glad that you checked in. Thank you. And we're looking. I'm sure the RDT will be in to do more with us. We love to have RDT in more often. It's just not, you know, we try to make things work. Man Johnson, Trey Perriman and Max Williams come the trade deadline. They're busts. For what?
Yeah, who's going to want them? who's going to want to spend something on
right,
Max
for,
Williams?
I mean, I'm not. Look,
Perriman.
I think the half of that sentence is correct. I mean, right now they absolutely
they're
do look like busts, yeah. But that's the problem. The problem is, what do you think you're getting for them?
Were they the same draft class? Was Williams the year before?
Williams was last year. Perriman was the year before.
Okay, gotcha.
Perriman, because he missed the full year.
That's true.
Right, you forget, but Perriman was, the year before.
Yeah, Perriman's third year, I guess.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. Although he's a second-year
player.
Second-year player, third year from having been drafted. Correct. Look, I'm with you. They're a huge part of the problem, and they're part of the reason why you're in this position is because when you have the few times that you have spent high picks on that side of the ball,
they haven't worked out.
They haven't panned out.
Yeah.
You do it so rarely. It was one thing to watch Juju Smith-Schuster today for the Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. And you have this realization that the Steelers already had plenty on that side
and
of the ball.
They went out and got one more.
And they said, let's go get another one.
It works. I mean, you remember going back to that, what was that, the Super Bowl with them in Green Bay, and it's they had...
Oh, my God, they were loaded, right, yeah, correct,
Emmanuel
loaded.
Sanders and all those guys, like, and people thought Antonio...
Well, at the time, we thought Linus Sweed was a football player.
That's true.
But yeah, they had Mike Wallace,
yeah,
and they had
all
the,
correct. I mean, and they were like, oh, they have Mike Wallace plus these two young
and
guys.
And they just discovered Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
He made the catch on the sideline against the Ravens that year, right. Like, all of a sudden, you look... They're loaded because they just keep going and getting more.
They're like the Rays with pitching, where it's like, where do they get these guys? And it's like every year they pick up someone who, you know, it's a stud who they've developed and things like that.
And yet the Ravens don't ever. They just don't do it.
Yeah,
they don't do it. And the couple of times they've spent high picks in the last couple of years, they've only done it a couple. They literally, these are the two guys, Perriman and Max Williams. They're the only high-level picks on that in fairness, Ronnie Stanley. Sorry. Ronnie Stanley, obviously. Ronnie Stanley appears to have panned out so far, but he's only one guy.
Good player,
right. Like, he's a good player. Is he going to prove to be a Hall of Fame level left tackle? I don't know.
We'll see.
But right now, he looks like a guy that's probably going to be somebody that you can
count on for the next 10 years.
Correct. And that's, if you can do that, that's a well spent first round pick.
Yeah, that's why you draft him. You know, that's who you want to draft in the top 10.
So. Correct. Correct. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Paul, have the Ravens suffered enough injuries this season that no matter how bad the season potentially ends up, Harbs is safe? I mean, I think it depends on how bad it ends up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference between suffering through a 6-10 or a 7-9 season and saying, well, we had 18 players on IR. And by the way, right now, 18 guys on
18.
IR. That number is going to grow, sadly. And it's the way it works. That number is going to grow. It's going to be well over 20 guys are going to end up on IR before the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 3-13, which would take something almost impossible to only win one more game the rest of the season, you go 4-12, there is a big difference, and things that you think are safe can suddenly feel not quite so safe at that point.
Yeah.
They've got time to try to figure out a way to make something work.
To write the ship.
I just don't believe they have the personnel to do it, man.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's... It'll be, like I said, if they lose out, then, you know,
yeah,
it should be anyone, you know, no one should be off limits then. But it's like, you know, say Flacco goes down next week, then it's like that, you know, the 1 year, a few years ago,
yeah,
where you're throwing
ago,
out
right.
Mallett and them, and it's like, well, what do you want us to do? You know, we got alarm clock Mallett in there, and you know, you can only expect so much out of him. But I don't know. I mean, I felt going into this year, if it didn't really matter the situation on the field, who was hurt and who's not. If Harbaugh has a bad year, I mean, it.
Well, once they gave him the additional year on his contract, you assume that was Steve Bisciotti's way of saying, look, we know it's kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe, even if he plays, is dealing with the back stuff. And it's easy to forget that, by the way, as you're watching Joe Flacco, that he's still dealing with this back issue. That
He's only been throwing a football for, 4 weeks now?
And it's clearly, again, as you watch him, he's clearly doing things. In the second half, people are going to judge the two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what was happening in the second half. They were down by a bunch of points. They had all they could do is just chuck the ball.
Yeah.
So now you're left with Joe Flacco. And at first, it looks really good because Joe Flacco has an arm. And when he's able to use his arm, he reminds you of what he's capable of doing. So at first, what was a completely incompetent offense in the first half, all of a sudden, they just get rid of the run. They just say, Joe, just throw the ball. Mm. And it looks like he's got a little bit of rhythm. He is throwing it into receivers that are double covered, and he's fitting it into the spot.
Yeah,
and
he's threading the needle down
you're
there.
Looking at like, oh, this is Joe Flacco again.
This
like
is the $120 million guy
this
we paid for.
This is the guy. But you remember that when he's forced to do it, not when he's doing it because they can open things up and they can, when he's forced to do it, they're going to tee off, and that's going to lead to, I call him OF it Joe, right? Like
yeah,
this is, and
I'm going
this
deep,
is this
like,
is the Brett Favre thing,
yeah,
where at some point, you're going to keep throwing, and at some point, something bad's going to happen. And the first interception was a screen where he just had to get rid of the ball because he's about to go down. Mm-hmm. Should he have just held on to the ball and taken the sack? Probably, but you know that you're getting your ass kicked all day doing that.
And it was a great play by Shazier too, who kind of just turned around and it was
right
there.
Right, found the ball.
It.
Right.
But then the second interception was on 4th and 12, I think, something like that.
He had to let the ball go because otherwise it's going to be a turnover one way or the other.
Yeah,
so he's got to take a chance.
He was punting it pretty much.
Correct.
You couldn't do that at the time because you're down and you need to score. But yeah, I mean it's. And like I said, the Steelers are playing not a prevent defense, but they're backing off. So yeah, and that's why he's getting his throwing lanes, and that's why he's racking up the yards. But yeah, he does kind of have that Brett Favre, I'm gonna sit back, I'm gonna sit in the pocket, I'm gonna throw this thing, 40 times if he needs to, because that's what they have to do to get back in the game.
Right.
It's a fantasy player's dream.
Larry, it's sold destroying that in 21 freaking years. We have never developed one true quality receiver. Don't get me wrong, I'm happy for 2 Super Bowls, but damn it, let's get with the times. Who just won in that game?
JETS.
The Jets.
Are they tied with the
Yeah, they got 2 wins now.
With the Patriots?
They're tied with the Patriots. Your second place. Oh, there's a flag.
We'll see.
Anyway, look, I think you're being a little unfair to Torrey Smith, who was a quality wide receiver while he was. Now, he wasn't an all world wide receiver, but he caught 11 touchdowns, which no one ever does in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
It never happens, but Torrey Smith did it, and then you said, "Nah, we'll just move on."
Yeah.
We'll just
go. Good player.
Torrey Smith was a very good player, but it's easy to forget that. So I think that you're being a little unfair to him. But yes, that's the one. That's the one quality receiver you've ever developed in Ravens history.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before at the end of last season, that Harbs is getting fired. We'll see. I think that's tougher because they gave him the 1 year extension, but it is by no means impossible. And if this thing continues to spiral out of control, you know what I mean? Like, then it becomes a why are we still doing this type of situation?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith at the end of his career is better than Perryman. Think about that, people. And to be honest, I think I'd rather have Steve Smith on the field at 37 than any of our pass catchers.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame talent. You know, that's.
Look, I thought I hate that being how the Ravens go after, but this is the problem. All they did was they tried to find their next Steve Smith. They just tried to find the next veteran guy they could bring in at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jeremy Maclin was out there, and they said, that's the guy we'll go get, instead of actually going and getting a wide receiver.
Yeah, and like Steve Smith was the next Derek Mason. And,
correct,
you know,
or Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, exactly,
insert name here. By the way, Boldin was younger in his career, and they went and got Boldin.
Yeah.
And look, Boldin and Mason panned out at extremely high levels.
Mm-hmm.
They were both great acquisitions. And honestly, Steve Smith, for the most part,
I think he was a great acquisition.
He was hurt the 1 year, but other than that, he was a good pickup.
He was everything you could have ever wanted in a
and when he had
pickup.
Torrey Smith on the other side of the field for the one season they were together, the offense, it put together Joe Flacco's best year as a quarterback.
Yep.
Because when you give him options
multiple
and weapons. Quality and someone who can protect in front of him. Obviously, it helps when you have a run game, which they don't have either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus Christ. Like, Jesus Christ. It would just be nice to have some of that, and for some reason, the Ravens don't. Look, we're taking a look at, there's a lot of macro that we're doing right now instead of micro. Like, the individual game doesn't appear to be the problem.
Yeah.
Nothing that happened today surprises me.
No.
I can't really go over the individual things that occurred in this game and psychoanalyze them because it went about the way that I would have expected it to, Eric.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to you, I think before, this is the first time that I can remember the Steelers really beating up and, like, imposing their will on them in a while, on the Ravens in a while. I mean, it's happened before, but the last few years, I think I was reading...
Well, the Ravens won 6 of the last 8 against the Steelers.
Yeah, and I think I was reading that the Steelers hadn't won by more than, like, 4 in Baltimore since, like, 02 or something like that.
Right.
I may be making that up, but I thought I read that. But, I mean, even that stat, it's like, you remember, these are close games that come down to touchdowns in the last few seconds or field goals in the last few seconds. And then now it's just like, I mean, this game is over at halftime. So.
Correct. Paul wonders, this is a fair... I threw out the idea that I would just, and I mean this, I don't think that anything gets fixed if you fire Marty Morningweg, but I would do it out of principle.
Just show.
I would do it because you did it to Mark Trestman
and Cam Cameron kind of.
And I don't know that either of them were as bad as this. This is inept. There were moments for both of them where it looked inept. So I guess I'm being unfair. There were definitely moments for both of those guys where it was inept. This is inept. It never made sense to begin with. To have a West Coast offense with Joe Flacco as your quarterback. There'll never be a day where someone will say, here, let me allow you to explain why this actually makes sense.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to do it.
I get it.
It's insane. The one thing that Joe Flacco brings to the table is a cannon of an arm, and you're going to say, but let's make sure he doesn't throw the ball more than 8 yards down
dump
the field.
Dump off.
Correct.
Yeah, quick slant.
That one weapon, the one thing that you can say on quite, whatever you feel about Joe Flacco, the only inarguable trait that Joe Flacco possesses is this absurd arm, this ridiculous chuck the ball downfield arm. And the one thing that you take away, that you neutralize when you go to a West Coast offense, is this.
It's him throwing the ball.
It never made sense to begin with. It never made a lick of sense to begin with that Marty Morningweg was his team's offensive coordinator.
Mm.
It made even less sense when you brought him back. So I would fire him for the sake of firing him. I just wouldn't expect any different. But Paul suggests, hey, is it possible that given Greg Roman's track record, that if he were the one playing the calls or calling the plays, that he would be able to draw something up that was a little bit better? You look at what he did with Colin Kaepernick and with Tyrod Taylor.
Mm.
You bring up the fact that both of them are a little bit more mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That maybe it would just a different play caller, if you let Greg Roman be the one to call the plays, he's got the experience of doing it, that he could call plays that are better suited for what the Ravens have. Maybe. Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean.
I'm not expecting a fix. Well, I'm not. This isn't really me banging on the table for firing Marty Morningweg, because, again, I don't really know that he's done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he was the right person for the job to begin with. And I don't think that anybody can fix this.
Yeah, it's like I said, Greg Roman is not, they're not going to fire Morningweg. Greg Roman step in and Flacco is going to turn into that playoff, you know, run Flacco. Like, and don't expect that. And
they
if
don't
you do
have
expect
it around him.
No.
It's not there.
Mm. I feel like that's just not the quarterback that Joe is anymore. Like, he's not.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know that he can't be that guy. I do say that if you surrounded him with talent,
with the tools, yeah.
If you put together something that accentuated what he does well, if you said, okay, we accept that we signed a big-armed quarterback to a big-money deal, now let's build around our big-armed quarterback, let's give him that level of talent constantly, and instead of worrying about trying to be the Ravens and having this dominant defense, let's try to do everything we can for this side of the ball,
offense.
I think you absolutely could get a high-level offense, but you haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
You've done nothing
to address it
at all. You just keep throwing more money and throwing more draft picks on the other side of the ball, and as I keep saying, if I'm disappointed with anything, I'm disappointed with the defense.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, everything I heard was this defense was the 2000, you know, where they want to win these games 13-12, and it's like, well, you're giving up 44 to the Jaguars, who just lost to the Jets. You're giving up 26 to the Steelers, which, I mean, I guess giving up 26 to the Steelers isn't that bad. It's kind of holding them down.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, they haven't
been dominant. Well, that's the difference. They only got one turnover today because of the most insane replay I've ever I will never in my life understand how that ended up being an interception. I had six people different, and the NFL sent a memo to CBS that said, because you have to control the ball all the way to the ground. What is a knee on the ground with possession if you didn't control the ball all the way to the ground? I don't understand anything.
I don't think I'll ever understand.
But if not for that, they would have gone 2 straight weeks without forcing a turnover.
Mm-hmm. After forcing what?
10.
Would they have 8 picks? 8 picks
yeah,
in the first
right,
two
yeah.
and 10
forced
overall.
Turnovers in 2 weeks, correct.
Yeah.
That's that's not a dominant defense.
No, it's playing well.
It's good. Like the last, they still have shown that they're a good defense, a solid defense.
They were talking about the bend but don't break defense today for the Ravens, and I was like, they've been breaking the last 2 weeks, and the first 2 weeks they played the Bengals, who looked god awful on offense the first 3 weeks, and the Browns, who they're the Browns.
Right, correct.
We
they
could
suck.
Stop the Browns.
Yes, they
you know?
Suck.
So
by the way, I picked them to beat the Bengals today.
It was close at least.
No, it
and,
wasn't.
And then they kicked the ball off, and the whistle blew, and all.
Real quick, John Colson from PressBox. This was sad, and if you think the team played poorly, you should have seen the disaster at the concession stands. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there was a mess at the stadium today or what.
I saw someone, you know, talking about obviously the crowd there that said, you know, shout out to everyone for staying home because the beer lines were shorter. I don't know.
Everybody that went to the game told me today that it was as packed as on TV. It looked like it was not an empty seat to be had.
Yeah.
Now I'm sure there were plenty of empty seats.
Yeah.
Because there always are.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like, and the people that were there told me it was as packed as you would expect it to be. There was never
any
notion of there being thousands of people that stayed away was not true.
Burning their tickets in the parking lot or anything. Yeah. And like I said, I told you when I drove by the stadium at halftime, I could see pockets in the upper deck. But then again, it was halftime.
Right. Also, so, it was a 19-0 game. I don't know if there were some people that just said,
"Yeah, I'm going to Pickles, or we're going back out the lotto or something."
My buddy Tom Marr, T-Bone, checks in. He says they have no center, they have no guards, they have one tackle who is now hurt. How do you overhaul your line in Week 4? And that's I think what we're talking about. If when I say I would fire Marty Morningweg, I'm not saying it because I think you can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can fix it.
Yeah, it's not an immediate fix.
This would be nothing more than saying, "Hey, we've done this to other guys. How dare we now just
different.
Right? We're not just because you're friends with John Harbaugh, we don't now just get to sit back and say, well, you get to keep. If you've done this in the past when the offense was inept, the offense is inept.
Mm-hmm.
It's piss poor. So if this is your track record, is if you're inept, you're gone. Well, then this guy should be gone too.
How early did they fire Trestman?
A couple weeks into the season.
Yeah,
last
I'm trying
year.
To
it
think.
Not,
cause this is.
Yeah,
I can get it if it's you know it's 4 weeks into the season. You know. We'll give him a little bit more time, but I'm trying to.
It
go
was
back
not
and
that long into the year that they fired.
I want to say like 6 or 7. That may even be too long.
Mark. I can pull it up right now. Mark Trestman was fired on October 10th.
Okay, so.
So that's
basically
not
week
a
five.
Week. A week from
week
now.
Five, yeah.
Yeah, a week from now okay, is when Mark Trestman was fired.
So maybe.
Look, and I'm not again. When I say this is not me clamoring for Marty Morningweg to
his
be
head
fired.
On a stick.
This is not. I am not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is me saying, well, what you've done in the past is when the offense is inept, you fired the offensive coordinator. Well, how?
Clearly inept.
Tell me why this guy's different.
Yeah.
Tell me why it is that this thing that is so badly not working. And again, it's easy to say, well, injuries, fine. But it's not working. And he didn't give anything to work with. But it never was a fit to begin with.
Yeah.
Why is this guy any different for this
and
guy?
And that was widely agreed upon, too. I remember a lot of people say, even when they brought him back, it's, you know, I get it.
You put
him in, you know, as the interim last year. And it's like, okay, I get it. We'll address this in the offseason.
Right.
And it's like, you bring him back? For what?
I spent the last week of the season trying to figure out which guy was going to be the Ravens' next offensive coordinator because obviously they were firing Marty Morningweg after the year.
Everyone thought that. Everyone did. And then they brought him back.
And the best argument that I heard from anybody was, well, because John Harbaugh is going to be on the hot seat next year, so he won't be able to go out and get a sexy offensive coordinator. Well, then you went and gave John Harbaugh an extension.
Yeah, which should have let you get that sexy coordinator.
Like, if that's what it took in order for you to get your coordinator that you wanted, you couldn't have done that 3 months earlier in order to... Insane. All right, I need 30 seconds to tell everybody about Par XL. We'll come back in. Hey, why don't we look ahead to the Raiders? That should be fun! Jesus Christ. We'll come back in as we continue on the Press Box Project Game Day post-game show. I forget. Whenever I get like this, RDT, sometimes I just forget that I still have responsibilities.
The Par XL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, let me get to a few more questions that people have brought in. Brian wants to know, do you think if Wallace would have caught that ball down the sideline, it would have changed momentum? Yeah, maybe. I mean, it might have. But, like, the interception that was a complete gift should have changed momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Then you play later if you hit Perryman for the touchdown.
Then you're right back in the game.
Right? Like, there's I think the Steelers were much better than the Ravens were today.
Oh,
I don't know that momentum was ever the problem.
No,
I think the Steelers were just vastly better.
But that Wallace catch definitely would have helped them.
Yeah, it was a crusher.
You know,
they were backed up.
And I mean, you see it. Flacco gets in those rhythms where he just mm-hmm. – and then after it's like he hits one of those, then it's just boom, boom, boom. It's like he picks apart the defense.
It feels like right now Watson's the only guy he truly trusts.
He's taking over that Pitta role.
Right.
It's like he kind of knows where he's going to be, and he knows where he has to throw it for him to catch it.
But
yeah.
he always – For Steve Smith's craziness, he knew if he threw the ball to Steve Smith was catching the football.
Yeah, if not, he was taking off the other guy's head trying
to
catch it.
Yeah, he knew damn well when Anquan Boldin was on this team, if I throw the ball to Anquan Boldin,
Anquan Boldin is
catching the football.
Yeah.
He knew when Derek Mason was on this team, and he also had tight ends, typically. Like, he always mm-hmm. had a tight end as well that he trusted to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
I don't know that he trusts any of these receivers.
No, I mean,
I don't know that right now there's a receiver on this team that he trusts. Even if this is a difficult catch, they're going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see Campanero go up and fight for a ball.
No.
And same thing with Perryman, obviously. You've seen a flash where you're like, oh, that's the Perryman that drafted. Mm-hmm. And then he does what he does today,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's would you trust any of the guys you're throwing the ball to?
No, not trust them.
Macklin had what?
Macklin's fine.
Fine. But he was today. What did he
do? Oh, yeah, it was nothing.
One catch,
nothing,
two
right.
catches, something like that? So it's and maybe that's a preseason thing where he's sitting out and he can't develop that rhythm or that
right.
trust with them. And I mean, while it stinks because, you know, back injuries, it's not like they go away. You don't sprain, you know, it's not a sprained ankle where you're 3 weeks later, you're all right. It's a back injury. You're lingering on that for a while.
T-Bone says maybe they should bring in Coach Kenny Matalolo and have him
just run a wishbone.
Have him run the triple option. Do you know how much your quarterback takes contact in the triple option?
Well,
Joe Flacco might die.
I got Keenan Reynolds. Keenan Reynolds.
He's still available. You're right.
Shoot,
he's still available.
Pick him up.
And may I ask under your head, how do you fix the Ravens in a perfect world? It's a loaded question. In a vacuum, would like to see what you would like to see happen. I don't fixing them is this is such a again we keep coming back to the macro versus micro thing here, right? Like in the microcosm of this, I don't think they can be fixed this year. There's things that I would do for the sake of doing them. Again, I would fire the offense coordinator because I don't think that he can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be – I wouldn't be doing that because I think it fixes something. I'd be doing it because you're making the statement of, this has not worked. We should never have done this with you. We gave John Harbaugh too much power to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
We failed. We effed up. We should have seen this coming.
Now
you're going to have to pay the price for
yeah.
it, right? Like, and that's what I would do in that situation. Is I would fire him for the sake of firing him, but it wouldn't. I'm not doing that thinking it's going to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
Fixing something, you have to change. You completely change your organizational philosophy.
Yeah, that's taking an offseason to rebuild an offensive line or to pick up a receiver or two or something
right.
like that. And that's you're not going to do that right now.
Maybe
you
have
can't
an
do it.
An entire draft
where you dedicate to the
fixing
offensive
the offense,
side of
right?
Yeah.
And they're just not – they are not inclined to do those things. They are inclined – it's in their DNA to be a defensive-minded team.
Yep.
And so it might be that what I think has to happen can't happen while Ozzie Newsome is here. Maybe can't happen while Eric DaCosta is here. Maybe Eric DaCosta is in tune with, you know, this is the way that you build a franchise. I don't believe that you can build a franchise like this. I did not think this team was going to be very good this year because I don't think even when you invest on the defensive side of the ball – and maybe some of these guys are still going to prove to be players,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, right now, I've not been impressed by any of the young pass rushers.
Mm-mm.
Like, there are four guys. I thought that maybe one of them could be a player. And I get it. We're only 4 weeks into the season, and for a couple of them, only 4 weeks into their careers.
Yeah.
But right now, there's none of them that you look at and say, well, Tim Williams is definitely special.
Yeah,
or
Kafusi, you know.
Right,
like, I
yeah,
know
right.
it's his first game today,
right.
but you're not getting that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But, I mean, for them, to, like you were talking about, how they're built and how their mindset on building a team. The Steelers used to be identical to that. We're gonna beat the snot out of you on defense.
Right.
And we're going to run the ball down your throat.
And then they said, look at this
and
guy that we have chucking the football.
Exactly. And it's you got a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield, and you surround him with weapons everywhere.
Give me
and
another like, one. And yep. another one. And it's DJ Khaled, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the Ravens just, like, you would think that the Ravens would just look north and be like, you know what? That's working. That's worked for them.
This is AFC North football now.
Let's do it. Yeah, exactly.
This notion of AFC North football is a misnomer.
Yeah, because
it doesn't exist any longer.
It's not the early 2000s where, you know, like I said, you're not going to win a game 13-12. You're
the Steelers still run the ball. Like,
yeah.
They still run the ball.
Look at Bell today.
I'm not for it. You can't. You're not even running the ball.
No, you can't.
This isn't even defense and running the football. You you can't run the ball.
It's bad defense and abandoning the run in the second half. So,
a lot of that.
But like I said, you would think that they would just look to the Steelers and say, let's patent our team like they did, where we go out and surround this quarterback, our franchise quarterback, with weapons everywhere. And they just haven't done that.
A couple as I look at the stats, Collins finished 9 for 82, 9.1 yards per carry. Now, that's a 50-yard run that, that inflates those numbers a good bit. But the fumble is critical. It can't happen. Le'Veon Bell ran the ball 35 times for 144 yards today and 2 touchdowns.
You say you never see him get that many carries either. Like you'll see him get 35 touches in a game, but how many catches did he have today?
Bell only had 4 catches.
Okay,
so
he touched the ball 40 times.
Yep. Now again, game situation allows for a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace 6 catches, 55 yards and a touchdown for the Ravens. They threw the ball his way a lot, but I don't sense that there is. I don't think there's trust right now in Joe Flacco in anything because he's scared. He is scared
for his
life.
He's all because he's always under pressure and he's getting a little happy feet in the.
The only sack all day was Ladarius Webb.
That was on their first series, right?
Correct. Very beginning of the game, the only sack all day was from a safety. Right now, he's playing a third corner position.
Terrell Suggs played today?
Yeah, technically, he wore a Bane mask.
He
was on the field. That's what he's got going for him. Oh. God, it is so brutal. It is so brutal. The season will continue. And the good news is all I got to do next week is travel back across the country to face the Raiders.
Yeah.
Now,
6-hour flight.
The Raiders did not look good last week at all in D.C. I don't know what to make of that because I think we all think pretty highly of the Raiders.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of what happened to them a week ago. I don't know if that's... They were. I really don't know what to make of what happened to them a week ago.
Yeah, I don't know if they just laid an egg or if maybe
were they exposed. I don't know.
People weren't that high on them coming into the year, which I thought that they were.
I thought they were the biggest threat. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, and it was like last year. Derek Carr was going to get MVP votes.
Yeah,
he was going to. You
absolutely.
Know, and they
before he got
were
hurt.
They the number 2 seed?
It would have been. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think they lost their last two or last three, something like that. But yeah, it's like I thought going into this year that it would have been. You know, they're going to run away with this division. They're the arguably the second or third best team in the AFC, and now it's like it's almost like they're just back to being they're the Raiders. You know, they got Marshawn and he hasn't really done much in the first or in early on. Amari Cooper hasn't done anything. Crabtree's not playing today. They were absolutely shut down last
correct.
Week. Like you said, just
they
didn't even play.
So I don't know what to make of it. I think
me neither.
We'll be able to watch more of this game today with them and the Broncos, try to get a better sense of who they are going into next week. I'm still very afraid of them.
Oh, I mean, because you know Carr could – it wouldn't surprise you if he came out and threw for 430.
Correct. And also I know that Khalil Mack could eat this offensive line's lunch.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to
– So I'm terrified of the Raiders. And also the Ravens typically cross-country trips have not gone well for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do well on long trips. Most NFL teams don't, in fairness. That's not unique to the Ravens.
But
going across the country is not something NFL teams typically do well, a la the Raiders a week ago in Washington.
It's also not great for a quarterback.
Yeah, who's got to get back on a plane.
Mid-30s quarterback with a back injury who has to, you know, a 6-hour flight stand up
the
whole time.
Yeah, he's done it. He's done it before for an Oakland flight.
Didn't he do that back from there?
He did it back from Oakland because of his hip.
Yeah,
because his hip was so bruised it was purple. Like, you know, that was just disgusting. But that's what's up. That's what's ahead for the Baltimore Ravens next week is they will try to somehow right the ship, and I just do not feel good at all.
I mean, they were 2-0 feeling good, you know, going to London, and now they're facing 2-3
in
the face.
No doubt. And by the way, what looms, right, in the fight, like they return home and face Chicago, but then at Minnesota. Now we'll see what's going on with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
That's a big one for them.
Bradford is back.
Also,
maybe.
Also in the next 6 games they play include 3 trips, Minnesota, Tennessee, Green Bay, and that's after Oakland. It is not. It is not a stretch where you can get healthy quickly for this franchise. Yes, there's 2 home games in there, Chicago, Miami, that don't appear particularly daunting.
Yeah.
But the way this team is playing right now,
I don't know.
Give them nothing. Give them nothing. Dude, that's it. Look how quickly that went.
Yeah.
Look how quickly that was for us.
Blinking. It was like the first
half. Right?
Blinking, it was over.
No, the first quarter, which was over before 1:30. There were people that didn't make it into the stadium before the end of the first quarter that weren't even late. Tell me about what you got going on at Barstool Sports.
Same old, same old. You know, I'll have my season wrap up for the Orioles blog. You know, RIP.
Yeah.
This September.
I mean, it ended just, like 3 weeks ago.
I held on a little longer than a few people, but I mean, just this September was just so bad for them.
Miserable.
So, but I'll have my season wrap up, best parts of the year and stuff like that, which definitely happened. I don't know, first half.
Correct. In like the first month and a half of the season.
It was. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll be blogging that. We got my buddy Banks covering the Ravens there. Pardon my take, as always, you know,
yeah,
the good
yeah,
football
correct.
Stuff and the fastest 2 minutes in sports and all that. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're just trying to crush the internet.
Yeah, well, you are. So it's not a problem. There's no worry there. There's no doubt about
that.
Thank you. At BarstoolRDT on Twitter is where people can give you a follow. And I know you're in hanging out with my buddy Coleman every now and then on the fan as well.
Been in there.
So you can check him out over there.
Not the mornings. It's too early for me. It's way too early.
Oh, right. They don't. I guess they moved. That's right.
The mornings. Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
He's on 6 to 10 now. I got to get my beauty sleep.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. I can't.
I can't be doing that.
That's brutal. Well, we want to have you back in at some point to do this. Really enjoyed having you come in and hang out with us today.
Good time.
Look forward, I guess, to what we'll be doing next week. A little bit later on, Sarita Hubbard, the NFL chick, will be back with me next Sunday for a 4 o'clock kickoff. So we'll be on somewhere after 7 for Project Game Day next week as the Ravens take on the Raiders. Thanks to ParXL for making it happen. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, at pressboxonline.com/radio for Glenn Clark Radio. Ravens lose 26-9. Hooray! This has been Project Game Day Postgame Show in partnership with Pressbox.